We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Podcast audio quality, like Arsenal's domestic cup season, goes down the drain. This is the Arsenal Vision post-match podcast. My name is Elliot Smith, Kabak Man, Twitter, Yankee Gunner. I'm going to make this really brief. I'm in the middle of a pretty big emergency with my work life, which I actually still have one, as weird as that sounds. I don't think in the entire time we've been doing this podcast, it's really interfered, but it's interfering now. So it's not a lot of fun. The most important things are people are healthy, people are safe, everything's going to be good, the podcast will carry on. But today, you are going to get the instant reaction with Paul, Clive, and Scott from yesterday as your podcast. And I hope patrons will forgive me and understand that it's the only way we can put a podcast out. And I hope everyone else will appreciate that we are trying to get you a podcast today so that we carry on. Because it was a hell of an occasion last night. Obviously, very disappointing result in light of what happened in the first leg, especially and how much work went into it. But even beyond that, losing Thomas Partey to a red card, with Xhaka obviously being gone because of red cards. There's additional Xhaka stuff and Arsenal-related stuff in the ether, but we are not going to touch on that today for the reasons that we're not even really putting out a brand new podcast today. But next week, we'll maybe get into that. We're going to talk the transfer window as it starts to wrap up. Maybe last night is a strong indication that we do need to strengthen, but who knows, after the international break with everyone back, we go back to playing like we did against Manchester City in the weeks before, and suddenly everything feels back on track. It's just a very, very weird January with red cards and postponements and, you know, Partey flying back from the AFCON only to not be available for Burnley because he plays a few minutes in the League Cup. Just a very, very weird situation. And the only people rubbing their hands together with glee right now are the Amazon documentary makers. So good for them. I might be skipping the January episode, but we'll see. So let me turn it over to Paul, Clive, Scott. I'll come back at the end to say goodbye to you, but I just want to say thank you to everybody for putting up with this as your pod. Obviously, their audio quality will be fine. Sorry about mine. I'll say goodbye to you in a minute. Here are the guys.
After a result that only Scott Willis could enjoy, Arsenal bow out of the Carabao Cup competition. Yep, we lose to the mighty Liverpool, but I'm sure Scott Willis had it in his model, and he's about as excited as he was when Tottenham got two goals back in 30 seconds last night. Not to give it away, but that means, yes, Scott's on the podcast today. Are you there, Scott?
Yeehaw! I'm excited. I was fun, right? No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Good man. Look, Elliot's not going to join us today, so you can still block him. You know where to find him. Block him. But this is Paul, pausing in my pants. I'll be running the controls today, and joining me is Scott and also Clive. Hello, Clive.
Hello, hello. I got nothing to say. I'm depressed.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what's the problem with these bloody instant reaction podcasts? It's like You know, I need about an hour or two to lick my wounds.
Yeah, like you lose once, you got to lose again, right? So,
yeah, hey. I'm a bit of a jinx, a Jonas, and on us today, on the podcast today with us today is our Judas, Scott. So, last minute joining with us here. Look, this was a tough result. I know our energies were high. We were optimistic. We were enthusiastic, but we didn't have a midfield. And so here's my little take on it. And maybe I'll lead off with my headline to get things going. So my headline basically revolves around the fact that when you press the pressers, and Liverpool are the press masters, maybe this is what happens. And maybe we didn't show them the respect, not from the team or from Arteta or from the lineup, but the supporters. It's not our job to be showing them respect, but did we think we progressed further than we have already? I think we're still learning where we're at. And we saw a team in Liverpool that when they went through the gears, we still can't quite live with them. And so that was kind of my takeaway from this game and my headline. They're not just good at pressing, they're good at playing, and they're good at playing through the lines, and they have some world-class players, even when they don't have Salah. I think Jota's an able deputy for Mane and Firmino stepping in to the starting lineup. You've got a hell of a team there. So that was my take from it. Clive, do you want to give us your headline?
Mate, I've got loads and loads of headlines. But if I just pick on one, it's not because I'm picking on the individual. It's just that it is important that when you play football, you have a centre forward. And I think it is important to this team. I think last week, watched Lacazette play an unbelievable game in a different way. But tonight we needed something else. And I don't think it's a night to judge people because it's obvious to the human eye we had some players in condition and some players out of condition. They're on the team sheet. Their names are written down. It made us all feel comfortable. But their legs weren't available to play. And the intensity by which we played last week versus the Liverpool team that maybe had some issues regarding training and fitness was just massively different to the intensity that we could play tonight. And we couldn't sustain the effort. So my headline is a headline that could be seen as unfair by some people. But I think if you look forward and project forward, this team has got lots of potential. Young defenders, and not bad midfield when they're not red-carded, and some very nice attacking mids and wide players. But we haven't got a centre-forward. And I think it really it's the next step. We all know it. I'm telling you something that every single listener knows. But on days like this, versus the very, very best teams, where you might get one or two chances, we haven't got that guy.
Yeah, because when you look at it, I agree with everything you said there. And in the middle of that was something that said not to pick on individuals. And on the one hand, I feel very much that way. You could pick on a bunch of our players in this for a moment, a mistake or whatever, and yet it seems like a collective difference between the two teams on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you look at Liverpool, and they had a striker take a couple of worldy touches and a worldy and fluky finish, but that's basically the equivalent of two worldy finishes, whether by luck or by genius. And we had a moment or two and we didn't put it away, and Laka had one of those moments. You know, to be fair to him, he hits the crossbar off the free kick, but in open play, which is where this game was really decided, we lacked the centre forward, and they had the wide forward who got into the positions and did the business, I guess. That's another way of slicing it. Scott, what's your take on that? And then lay your headline on us.
So this is a hard one to actually make a headline for. And going back to my journalism classes, this probably wouldn't cut mustard right here, I'd say. Liverpool finish their chances. I think that's really the big story of this. I don't think there was a ton separating the two teams. I think that overall it was a fairly even affair, but Liverpool had two clear chances, finished one of them. Arsenal had one clear chance and missed it. I think that really is the story of the game, where it's, you look at, I think just the overall match, I think there really wasn't a ton separating them. I think there was a couple slips, a couple kind of a one fluky kind of missed kick that ended up in the goal. And that was really how things changed. And that's what, you know, was actually the difference between the two teams, because I didn't think that Arsenal really got outplayed here. I thought they were okay, but I think, yeah, Clive's point was absolutely right. Like, the names on the team sheet looked good, but the performances were not at the levels that we expected. I think you could definitely tell that Arsenal have not been on the training ground together with all of these people, and that we've been massively affected by the injuries and everything that we've had. I thought it was overall a solid performance, and it really just came down to two moments.
Yeah. Like, when I think of their two moments, I mean, the second one comes because we're really going for it, because they've already got their goal, right? You could almost argue it came down to one moment each, their moment in the first half and our lack of moment in the second half. Now, I suspect that the strength of their team and their experience probably would have paid off in the end. But their second big moment comes from us kind of overloading, pushing up. Tomiyasu's up, so, because we're on the count, you know, we lose the ball thinking we're going to attack. So we've got totally the wrong shape at the back, and they do us again. I guess I suspect in the end that the strength of their team and their ability to string passes together, they would have found a way one way or another. But you could argue that their second opportunity came because we were chasing the game. But with that said, Clive, why don't you lead us off with your stock rising?
My stock rising. I'm gonna pick Martin Odegaard, and I dread to think how many touches he has, because I haven't got my apps open to see. But
that's why if he's not our
top passer, top touches, then I'm not watching the right game, right?
So it's very close. So yeah, I have him with 74 touches, Gabriel 75, Ben White 77.
Yeah.
And so, when you think how much time we spent knocking it around between our center back, scratching our head, trying to find a pass upfield, that's a hell of a statement that Odegaard in midfield, etc., had that many touches.
Yeah, I thought obviously he's not really a deep line midfielder, but he gave absolutely everything to the cause, to get on the ball, to show personality, to receive it from everybody. I can't wait to see what the pass maps look like. I think I went to a game recently, I can't remember which one, and I was watching the warm-up, and it might have been West Ham actually, and I was watching the warm-up, and I was watching him in the possession game, and I thought to myself, crikey, he looks like our best player.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And what I mean, you know, when other players know he's the best player, they were cheering him, he's not making people, getting the ball. And then he was taking shots for the game, and they're all going in. And I thought to myself, gee whiz, he looks like our best player. Now, we all know that Saka and Martelli have been flying and Smith Rowe have been scoring. We know that player to player respect that you see close up with your human eye. And I've been watching him since then. And I'm telling you, tonight, he looked like our best player. He looked like the best player in the club. Looked like the captain, you know. And we all have our favorite players, you know. I'm not saying he is the best player. You know that vibe that someone gives off. Yeah. And if he's doing that out of position when he's had one training session, that tells you about his professionalism, how he looks after himself. So we know there's been illness in the camp. We know there's been injury in the camp. We don't know anything about preparation of some of these players. That's why I'm loath to critique them until the story comes out. But I thought he was fantastic. And there's something happening here. And I, if you don't mind, Paul, I just want to say that we're getting a bit of respect now. So in the last game, Saka and Martinelli ripped them. In this game, they literally put Curtis Jones one side and Gordon the other to double up with the fullbacks to nullify our wide men. And then that meant we had to rely on Smith Rowe and Lacazette to penetrate through the middle. And we know that Smith Rowe's not ready. We know Laka didn't have his best game. And so suddenly they killed our danger men. Although Martinez was brilliant, but they focused on stopping those two guys and then said, go on then, what you got down the middle? And we had one chance and we blew it right on the free kick. So it's quite interesting. The next phase of this team is we're getting respect. We can't do it with the four kids anymore on their own. We need something else. I'm back where I was where I started. But Martin Odegaard had an announcement game West Ham away last season. And just because he lost his game, I hope people remember how well he played, because his potential is huge, in my opinion. You know, maybe greater than what I originally thought when we signed him. So he's my stock rising.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. I thought he was superb in this, which is a weird thing to say, given how we struggled to create, especially in the final third. Maybe Scott can talk a little bit about final third entries and that kind of thing. Clive, we were set up in it felt like very much and clearly a 4-4-2 with the two lads, Smith Rowe and Lacazette, up front. And the other thing that struck me was we went for it in terms of pressing right from the get-go. And we had Martinelli left, Saka right. And I've a little sympathy for Lacazette in that if you think of his game, he was unfortunately in an area of the pitch where he was going to be up against VVD, Matip and Fabinho, which is a fairly intimidating group of players for him to make a difference in. And, you know, he did his thing with pressing or whatever, but he was just kind of, they saw him out of the game for me. But did you see this as a 4-4-2? And like for me, we had to lean into the pressing thing. We had the kids. What we didn't have was our normal midfield or anything like our normal midfield. And so we leaned into the pressing.
I'll let Scott have a go after this quickly, but yeah. What I saw was us being aggressive, right? So trying to be front-footed and making gambles. And I thought we overpressed last week. It cost us a Xhaka goal, if I'm honest with you. I felt we overpressed that left-hand channel with Tierney and Gabriel. And I felt we did it a few times in this game as well. And I don't mind overpressing, but if you don't get it, smash people. Don't let them turn away and get out, right? So I know we can't smash anybody without a yellow card, but you've got to do something. You've got to stop them early in the phases, and we don't. And so I would have done exactly the same, playing their half. We haven't got a midfield. We don't want them running through us. Stress their exit passes and try to see if we can pick the ball up and create ways of attack. I've done exactly the same thing, and it worked. But as when they scored, the air came out of the balloon, and I felt we started to look at our boots a little bit, and then we started to think, well, actually, I haven't trained that much, and I may not feel this good. And
these boots feel heavy.
That MRI scan I just had, maybe let me just check if I'm really going to, extend myself. And it looked like that to me for a bit. The home crowd kept us going, but we needed something to happen, someone to do something spectacular. And it was going to be the two kids on the outside, and they were blocked off. You know, and then so that was my issue really. So shape, Paul, I don't focus on that so much. I look at the body language and the intensity, and we didn't have it. We didn't have it, you know.
Certainly the air went out of the balloon after the goal. So to your point, like overloading or what would you say, overextending ourselves on the left hand side, their goal, I mean, God, like the first goal. How do they squeeze it through our press? I don't know, because if you look at like you see these sketches on Twitter of like cover shadow and this and that. Like we had them covered, and the fucker squeezed it through to Firmino, who then flicks it onto Alexander, who has no business being in the center of midfield, but is, and then they carve us open from there. And I think Jota, that's a worldy touch he has, and the nutmeg. I know that Tomiyasu got some, I wouldn't say stick. People said, oh, it must be because he's tired or whatever. I mean, fucking hell, that nutmeg from Jota. I don't know how fresh you have to be. It was just like perfect touch. His He had two perfect touches, one for each goal. But I guess the thing I'd really focus on is they had no business getting out of that press. It was a decent press with decent shape, and they still fucking carved through us. So those boys know how to play under pressure.
I think one of the things that you can say here is that sometimes, you know, people will just play perfect passes and will have perfect touches, and that can be a really good press sometimes. Like, it's not that somebody made a mistake here. I think it's sometimes that you just got to tip your hat to the other team when they do something really good. I think Jota was the best player on the field. Like, I think that's just hard to, you know, kind of argue with. He had, they looked for him because, you know, they're out with their best players. So he had to step up, and he had two big moments where he changed things. And I think sometimes that's just what happens. And yeah, I don't think that necessarily, yeah, I think Tomiyasu looked tired, but I don't think that those,
at least that one later on.
Exactly. I don't think in that one moment it was necessarily him making a mistake. I think it was Jota doing something amazing, kind of a thing. And then he got lucky too, right? Yeah, at the end, like that goal, like that's not where he wanted to put it. That's not how he wanted to strike the ball, but it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, and I'd love to get Clive's view on this, but maybe Tomiyasu can run him slightly differently or something. But like, that's so fucking tough when you're on the counter, you're scrambling, Alexander-Arnold's in midfield, where you're not necessarily expecting him, where you're on the attack, you're pressing up, and the next thing, you've to get everything just right with Jota. I mean, I just think it's you got to be to expect perfection, and I always think that the attacker, especially if he's good, has the upper hand. If he does everything right, your fullback's going to have a bit of trouble.
There's a couple of things that I noticed tonight. I think we overwatered the pitch because we kept slipping over. That's a definite. So I'll be talking to the groundsman. But on the goal, shall I tell you, this is where naivety comes in. So when people look at players, they look at them on the ball. So Samuel Okonga made a lovely ball to Lacazette, and everyone's looking at him saying what a great player he is. And he will be a great player. But what he needs to learn is he needs to learn when to connect, when to disconnect from his man, so he controls the central space and protects entry passes into their centre forward. So on the goal, what happened was Jordan Henderson drags Sambi out to right back area. Trent goes forward into the centre midfield area, into spaces where he was not really marked because the Marseille doesn't want to track him all the way back into the central zone inside. And so by emptying the centre midfield and Odegaard overpressed a little bit, they could find an entry pass into centre mid, a little flick round the corner, and we're one-on-one. Now we're one-on-one on the exterior with Tomiyasu and Jota, and Tomiyasu had to engage incredibly quickly, really quickly, so he doesn't get into his running. But because which he normally does, he is so sharp defensive decisions. I mean, he just gets under you. But because he's not fit, he says, you know what, I'm going to hold off and see if he's going to run me. Well, he chops inside him, megs him, and goes in towards the goal. He slips over, loses the fact he can't get into a race with him. Now we're scrambling again. We're scrambling, but with a broken line because their movement has distracted us. Gabriel's slightly high. Ben White goes into, I'm going to cover everything mode. Normally he hasn't got a problem because Tommy takes the man. But now we have to react. And we all try to react and squeeze into the centrals near zone 14. And he squeezes the shot in. I've just seen a goalkeeping coach online talk about Ramsdale and his positioning. And he sort of said, basically, he could have been a little bit high on that first shot. And because of the pace of the shot, if he was a little bit lower, he'd just scoop that up. But I think he was a little bit unfortunate with that one, really, because it was a miss hit. But we're in a bit of a flat spot, lads. We generally are. And I think we need to really wash this one from our heads because we're jumping around a little bit back there, you know, trying to...
Yeah.
But I will go back to health. We're not quite sure who's ready. So that's where my head is at the moment.
Yeah. It does feel like a one-off game. That it doesn't mean it's that there isn't something significant here, but we won't know what it is for a while. There's a one-off game. To me, there's pluses and minuses, and you can see a direction of travel that's good. You can also see a couple of areas we can strengthen. So, Scott, who's your stock rising?
I'm going to take the obvious one. I'm going to say Gabriel Martinelli is my stock rising here. I don't know if you saw the Klopp's comments here after the game. You know,
I did
taking
not.
Taking a moment, you know, really calling him out, saying that he's going to be a special player. Because I think you can really see that they had to make obvious changes after there, because they thought maybe Alexander Arnold could take him one-on-one. But I think after that first 20 minutes, you could see that every time Arsenal were able to isolate Martinelli against Alexander Arnold, good things were happening for Arsenal. So you could see a lot more Jordan Henderson going over there to help. You could see a lot more of Curtis Jones going to double up and really try to take the ball out of Martinelli's hands or, you know, feet, and try to get him to make somebody else go do something. I think that he was really kind of the main catalyst of our press. I thought that he did incredibly good. He was our most threatening player with his actions. Not the best at passing, but he got the ball and he drove forward significantly. I think one of the shots that he had, he took a shot from a tight angle that he had, you know, really no chance of making close. And I think if, you know, their goalkeeper doesn't get fingertips on it, it sneaks in under the bar. And I thought that was just audacious confidence to take that shot. And I think that's something that he just has when he goes to play, is that he is full of confidence in his ability to make something happen. And a lot of times with his hard work, he does make stuff happen for us. So I think that this is another really good game for Martinelli. And I think that we've got a really special player that I'm very excited about.
Yeah, it seemed to me that, by the way, I think you both got the right answers. Those are the two standouts for me in terms of stocks rising, leaving me scratching my head and buying some time here. But what I definitely thought before this game was, if we were really going to get at them and impact them, it was with the lineup we had to press them, and then Ramsdale and co had to hit Martinelli. And I was just, given that, like, Klopp has talked about Martinelli before, so he knew. So given that they knew and that they were already had their eye on him, the fact that Martinelli had so much impact and so much personality, and so many of his first touches got them into trouble and had them scrambling. I mean, I think he's special. And he's, you know, who's our attacker? Who's our goal scorer at the moment? It's this guy. He's our wide forward, who's truly our kind of get him close to the center forward spot. He's the guy you expect to get you your goals. So I thought he was sensational. Do you want to say anything on him, Clive?
Yeah, I think I can't help but watch. Well, I'm Martinelli, right? He is, was he Premier League Player of the Month or Fans Player of the Month? So he's no secret anymore. The secret's out, lads. It's out.
Yeah,
everyone knows about him, and he's been
including
he's now
the
been,
opposition, and he's still eye catching.
And so now he has to learn to beat three men and get a shot off now, not just two. And that's his next challenge, right? So. Hence, you know, we got that's his next challenge. He's coming.
I think, it's learning to deal with that gravity, right? When he sucks players in to, you know, kind of change the shape of the defense, how to release that ball quicker, be able to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, like Saka does, really. He drags people over. He manages to find a little avenue to nick it out, then do a little 1-2, then he goes second phase, right? So it's the next phase for him. He's all good. He's 20 years of age. There's no stress there. We're just going to sit back and watch him smash these people, because he's only going to get better. So, I just can't help but think when I'm watching this game, I know we're in a transfer window, but were you just thinking about what we need to do to make this all a bit better? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's where my head was. And again, we know that we weren't saying this last week, you know, apart from the fact our de facto captain got himself sent off. We weren't saying too much this last week, because we gave absolutely everything that we had with the people that we had. But there are gaps here which are becoming really, really clear. And I don't think that's a bad thing, right? We just need to do it, because every time we come up against those two in particular, City and Liverpool, they expose your edges. Do you know what I mean? They expose your edges in your squad, and there's just no getting away from it.
Yeah. Basically, I felt once or twice in this game, Liverpool showed how they could string it together. And like you just said, oh, okay, there's still levels here to go. We're getting closer, but when they needed to, they had a couple of worldies do worldie things. Right, so my stock up. I don't want to wimp out and pick somebody who's not on the pitch. I'm going to go with Sambi, not because I think across his whole game he was great. He definitely had a couple of really dodgy, ropey moments. But I thought he grew into this game. And when you think about how he struggled in the league game against Liverpool, especially when the second half hit, like, this is a guy who was really our only proper midfielder. I thought Odegaard did really well in midfield, to be fair. But he was the only guy who was supposed to be responsible for that area of the pitch as a seasoned pro. And I thought he grew into this game. And, like, he lost Thomas Partey late on in the game and was back to being our one-man midfield. And I just felt, I sensed that he was getting stronger in himself and helping us play around in the second half, and looked like he was belonging there. And although I'm not saying he had a great game or lit us up in the second half, I did feel he grew a little bit in this encounter and was a very credible performance, given the kind of the task on his plate here. So if I had to pick a third, because I'm not rubbishing our players by any. Yeah, like, it's not that I think the rest did badly. It's just you can't exactly give the other folks a thumbs up, even if it's a thumbs neutral. But I think Sambi, once he got his couple of mistakes out of his game, I thought he was very creditable and looked the part as the game went on. Against, like, that's where Liverpool hits you, right in the midfields, right? That's where the pressure is. And I thought it showed a maturity for a young lad to settle as the game went on.
I think it's a good call, because I think that would have been my third guy that I would have chose too, because I think there was a lot of good points. I mean, he was really the only recognized central midfielder on the pitch for Arsenal, and I thought that, you know, that's putting a lot of pressure on him, especially considering his last performance against Liverpool was not great. So I think this was something that we saw good performance from him. I thought there was a couple of good moments where he was defensively aware, covering for Tierney, where he kind of jumped passing lanes a couple of times. I think one of the things that you kind of look for a midfielder in this kind of system is not giving the ball away. And I thought that he was relatively safe on the ball. He tried one dribble, he was completing it, didn't give the ball away in any situations here. So I think when you kind of look at what you wanted from him, he checked all the boxes, and I think you're right. He did grow into the game, and it didn't look like it was above him. And I think that's a real testament to him, because this is a really tough matchup for him. And, you know, this is still a big jump for a young player who, you know, hasn't had these kind of experiences.
Yeah, he's standing in the eye of the storm in this particular game. And the fact that he grew into it instead of shrinking says a hell of a lot. Right, that's the easy part of it out of the way. Let's get to stocks falling. I'm sure you can think of one, Clive. Not that we want to, like, I think overall...
This is Clive's favorite part, right?
Yeah, yeah. Overall...
This is easy stuff. Well, there's a few, isn't there, really? I'm not gonna go with the forward one, because, you know, I don't think it's interesting, if I'm honest with you, and because we all sort of know. I'm going to pick one for interest and discussion. So I'm going to pick Gabriel. And I don't think he was, like, disastrous at all. And I still think he's, probably our best one-on-one defender. But I think he's become a little bit erratic and less smooth. And I thought he got rid of this. So... And whether this is instruction or not, I just felt some of his decisions to go and get the ball were a little bit iffy. And sometimes you have to say to yourself, and I know why this is, a knock-on effect. When you look in front of you, you don't see a midfielder of stature. What you do is you go in there to go and get the ball. Right? There's a knock-on effect of losing your senior midfield players. It's significant, huge, huge impact to the back line. They immediately try and do one and a half jobs and try to jump in and go and get people. When they see their midfielders in front, they say, he's coming, left shoulder, right shoulder, right shoulder. But when they see a youngster in there, who had a good game, by the way, and Martin Odegaard is 2 stone 3, they want to go and help them, Right, and I felt it was a problem. I thought it was a problem last week, and I think this is something that needs to be coached back. Remember, Paul, we were talking about Ben White going to get the ball, intercepting, and then driving on. And I quite like that because I think Ben White's decisions are better when to go and press in. And I trust Gabriel at the back door. He's faster, stronger. He's really good in one-on-one tackles. When Gabriel presses in, he gets sent off. Right? And this happened against Southampton last year, happened against Man City this year. He's so aggressive, wants to win it, doesn't know when to slow down and just let people have it. And I just think he needs someone to tap him on the shoulder and say, mate, just look after the back door for us. No one's going to run you. You know, you can go and get anybody. But if you're halfway at the pitch, you can't make the distance up. So it's more discussion point.
And maybe a Discord. Clive, I was just going to say on that, I was going to do a little calculation at one stage on Gabriel to see kind of disciplinary per minute. He probably runs Xhaka a close second on red cards per minute played. I mean, he definitely has it in him. And that's not getting Xhaka off the hook. Putting Gabriel on a hook near him. Now he's younger and he can learn and all that.
He'll
kind of
learn.
Stuff,
he's 23, yeah. Right? He's got awesome abilities. It's more for the Discord guys to discuss it really and see if I'm touching on something. It's easier to pick. There are obvious players tonight that were under the weather and didn't play well. But yeah. I wanted to choose that guy because I think it's important we get it right. He's here forever. Do you see what I mean? And I think it's important we get it right. So I'll be interested to see what Discord guys think, if I'm going in the right path there or not.
Very good. Scott?
I think I'm going to go with Ben White here. I think it's, again, for a lot of the similar reasons. We didn't play with a lot of experience in midfield, and I think that this was a game where I think we needed more from our center backs to be able to help us, to help move the ball up the field. And I guess I just expected more from Ben White to be able to help in the passing, being able to do that. I thought it was just okay. It's tough to say it's a stock falling because I don't think he was necessarily bad. I think he had one bad moment on where Jota beat him and he just kind of gave up. And I think that was a tough one to see from him, because I think other than that, I thought his defending was okay again. But I think this was one where our center back for the future, kind of our thing. And I think, same thing with what Clive was talking about with Gabriel, where I think we have high expectations for both of these. We know that there was a lot of people that were coming back from injury or coming back from COVID, didn't have a lot of training sessions. And these were guys that I think that we were all looking for to give us bigger performances. And I think that it was just a little bit of a letdown, and it's tough to put that on him. But I think that, we needed more in this match for him to be able to help push the ball up the field for us.
Yeah, it was a funny one, the Jota versus White moment. I think it was over by the touchline, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was almost like he got head faked, but still it looked a little soft. How far White fell behind him once Jota went past him. It looked
he kind of gave up, right? Yeah.
So here's it. But to your bigger point about the center backs helping upfield, what struck me on that, because they were obviously the quite a few moments they'd step on the ball and kind of scratch their heads who or how they were going to pass. And you'd look at the Liverpool shape and it's superb. Like they're obviously what they do is they press teams playing out from the back. And even if it wasn't the most aggressive press they were doing at times, their shape, it's like, it looked like they had 13 players on the pitch. And after a while, it's almost like one of the things that happens to a team playing our side of the coin is that after a while you stop making the runs because there's no bloody point, or at least that's what gets in your head. And so, because I can really relate to your point here, like the center backs are built up from the back. We didn't seem to be able to do our thing, make things work. And you see what a brilliant shape looks like and how that kind of beats the runs out of the guys in midfield and those other guys. And then you're left with two center backs with the ball passing between each other. nobody quite, you know, what do we do? Do we ping it to Martinelli and Saka again? Yes, that's probably what we did next. And so I know what you mean. I don't know where the fault lies in the end, but I did kind of take a step back a couple of times and think, holy shit, have they got 13 guys? Have they got like 9 guys in midfield? They just blocked all the lines without even moving. They were just standing there waiting for us to try and do something. That was my take on it.
We didn't have enough bodies, mate. We ran out of fit bodies, Paul.
Yeah.
So it made it easier for them to target some of our talent, I'm afraid.
But, yeah, I think that's right. They just seem to be like on the edge of our third. They seem to have it just our number in terms of shape as the game went on. And I think we kind of ran out of a bit of belief, energy, the runs. And but you can't not. You can learn from. I think when you're on the other side of it, you can learn and say, "Wow, what was that?" And how do we, is that what a press looks like? Even if it's a static press. Yeah.
A good example is their midfield three, right? So they got Curtis Jones, 21-year-old.
Yep.
Nice player. Surrounded by Henderson and Fabinho. Two blokes. Done a few laps. Yep. When Henderson goes off, they bring on James Milner. Been playing a league about 40 years. And so they know where to stand, those guys. Do you know what I mean?
And it's one of those things, I feel like there's like a calmness to the way that they press. Like it's not helter-skelter, right? It's like we know exactly where we need to be. We've done this 1,000 times and it almost looks effortless. A lot of times when Arsenal press, it's very haphazard. Like I know they've probably practiced it a lot, but it's also, it's like with Liverpool, it's just, all right, I know I need to be here. They don't, it's more efficient, I guess, in the movement. It's not, I'm running around at full tilt here. It's just like that 80%. I'm into the spot that I need to be. And now it's really hard for Arsenal to find the passes that we need to make. And I think that's something that you could just see that they've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. So my stock down. We kind of covered the Lacazette thing, and I don't really feel like hitting him any harder than we have. I think we know the situation there. I'm going to go with Xhaka because he should have been on the pitch tonight, and he should be on the pitch against Burnley. And we've lost Partey, and you can fully understand why Partey, having just got off the airplane, tired, groggy, trying to make a difference, feeling a bit leggy, how he got himself into trouble. But Xhaka is, you know, he shares the captaincy, whether it's official or not. I mean, that's part of the rationale for why we're supposed to like him. You don't have to like him. You can just like the fact that he's part of your team. He should be here. He's at an age. I mean, and we all know this stuff. You can say Xhaka is Xhaka. But I think what people are really saying to themselves is, well, you know, here's what I'd say. A few weeks ago, we were warming up to Xhaka again as part of the setup, as one of our go-forward midfields. And yes, we need to strengthen, and we'll add, and we'll have other options. But now we're back to, I think most people are thinking, well, he should go in the summer. And in that sense, Chaka's a stock falling, because that's he wasn't there a few weeks ago. And I think he's really let himself down and let the team down. And you can say there's nothing new here and this is just who Xhaka is. But the reason he's here is for leadership. And because he's a good midfielder when he keeps his nose clean and stays on the pitch. And, you know, we're not going to have Partey, I guess, at the weekend now for Burnley, correct? Am I wrong there? But
yep, he's got a one-game
starting. Yep, so that carries over to the Premier League. So now we're back to Sambi Lokonga in midfield against Burnley in a game that we should walk, but we have an obvious vulnerability. And I guess it, you know, do we need another opportunity to give Xhaka kicking? Probably not. But I really think this is, you know, compared to Henderson, right? They're both at senior ages. Senior importance in their squad, leadership, etc. But Henderson's going to be on the pitch. And, yeah, So I'm going to go with Xhaka. I don't know if you guys feel like chipping in on the Xhaka topic.
Only thing I would maybe add is that the last three games we've had red cards, and there's an Arsenal template developing about how we lose. And we don't just lose, we carry something into the next game. You know what I mean? Either an injury or sending off or a major controversy. We don't just lose, you know? And so, you know, Burnley now, Sunday, is massive, absolutely massive. And we also, we've got some minutes in legs. I'm hoping we're not carrying any injuries. Just reading that Tomiyasu has not trained at all. And he played the whole game. That's why there was a kid on the bench who plays right back. No Cedric, no Chambers. Obviously, Maitland-Niles has gone away. And so he said, I will play. Partey gets off the plane. I will play. It's obvious Smith Rowe's not been near training pitch. I will play. Saka's not looking himself. So they've gone out there and really give it for the manager. And I hope there's not a cost for Burnley, because those points are important. Do Burnley have a sit down? And get your legs up.
And yeah, because we have 3 weeks after that, right? After the Burnley match, we've got a good long break. Hopefully get everybody kind of back. Yeah. And
get one back. Get to the sort out the transfer window. Sort out what you're going to do. Get those points. I don't care how you get them Sunday. And then have a deep breath and then reset for the run-in. You know, but Burnley is huge. This is why the party thing has left a bad taste in my mouth.
Sure. And like, there's nobody else to cut back, is there?
That was pretty soft, right? The first one was kind of a week. And it's like, ugh.
The second one was...
Because I know that you like to talk about that, right? It's like, can we just do a little bit of game management, of keeping the people on the field? Did we need to punish that one? That's 2 fouls, right? 2 fouls, 2 cards. And
yeah, I think Fabinho, how many fouls he made? 6? I don't like doing that, but 6 or 7 fouls, and I don't know if he got a card.
It's just one of those that sucks.
Yeah, the first one was soft, right? It's just like... Come on, man. But we're not getting those breaks. And you got to say, there's a few brain cells missing in some of our players, right? There is. And we got to sort this out, because we're just watching. It's too costly. It's too costly. So.
Yeah. And what you need is somebody like a Henderson, or in our case, a Xhaka, to tell the other players how to manage their discipline in game. And unfortunately, our Henderson is Xhaka. And like, you know, what's he going to do? Have a quiet word to the lads to say, hey, manage yourself in game in terms of, you know, what's he going to say to Partey? You know, you're probably a little foolish there towards the end of the game, Thomas. Whether he says it or not, nobody's going to be listening. So.
I think you could actually even say Lacazette in this one. I mean, I thought he was very close on the edge several times of looking agreed. Like he was about to get sent off. And he was our captain today, right? So even today, we had that kind of same thing where our captain wasn't necessarily leading by example on trying to use our brain cells here, because he had 5 fouls. And I thought that he very well could have earned himself a second yellow.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas Partey was brilliant against City, right? And then he went off to the African nations. Yep. So he just restored his reputation with a number of people who were just ready to kick him. He's come back, done the right thing, and then got himself sent off. Unluckily, we've got Aubameyang, we're not sure where his head is. We've got Lacazette, we know he's in departure lounge, although he's great one game and not great the next. We've got Xhaka, well, we know he can come flying past your window right now with a 2-footed tackle, or he could be brilliant on the pitch. We're not too sure. Our senior players haven't really been consistent this season. And it is a problem, because we really, really need them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's my go-to-bed thought. How are we going to get people to carry this young group when they hit their flat spots or carry injuries? How are we going to help them? Yeah. Not by getting sent off and things like that. So we've got some work to do there.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we look forward to the weekend, of course, we'll have the main pod tomorrow. But this starting lineup today, I mean, that's going to be the starting lineup against Burnley, isn't it? There's nobody else coming back. This is probably it.
Yeah, I don't hope we haven't lost anybody.
Well, we brought in Partey and we lost him again. So we're back to the starting 11. This is probably it for Burnley, isn't it?
I think so, unless we sign a £100 million centre forward in the meantime, but I don't see it happening, right? So,
yeah, not in time for Sunday, right?
Or maybe Arthur Melo's
tomorrow, right? Yeah,
Arthur Mello's agent not only came to bring Edu or to meet Edu, but he also brought Arthur Mello with him and left him behind. Maybe he'll be ready for the weekend, but I guess this is it then. This will be our 11. So, all right, let's wrap it up there. I don't know what snappy thing I'm supposed to say at the end of this for our podcast, our instant reaction wrap up, but I guess that's
it's it. Just block Yankee Gunner, right? That's
Yankee
the main
Gunner.
And we'll see you after 10, Arsenal.
Burnley 27. And we'll see you on the main pod tomorrow then. So thanks, Clive. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for chipping in there.
No problem, even though I loved every minute of it, right? Because I'm a Judas.
Yeah. That was Scott at @O_that_Judas. And we'll see you tomorrow on the main pod. Bye, everybody.
Okay, that'll do it. I hope you enjoyed the pod, if not the subject matter. And we'll definitely be back on a regular schedule next week, both on the main channel and on the Patreon channel and everything. But I hope everyone has a good weekend. I hope that the Burnley game goes forward and we dominate and we can all feel a lot better on Monday. So that'll do it today. We love you and we will talk to you after Arsenal 10, Burnley 0.